need your thinking cap on today, that's for sure, at Rosie on the House. Thank you for tuning in. Arizona Saturday morning tradition for 28 years, where we come together every Saturday to do one thing, to become your best friend. If it has anything to do with your house, home, castle, or cabin, we want you to first stop at RosieOnTheHouse.com. Pretty powerful website that we've been building, massaging, breaking, rebuilding, breaking, and rebuilding for about 15, 16 years. It was really about 2000 that we kind of gave the website a birth. I didn't even know what a website was in 2000. But I also thought that I'd be able to run my whole remodeling company without a computer back in 1983. I just thought, well, you know, these newfangled computers, I'm just gonna let them go by the way, and then if any of the kids want this company, they can bring computers in then.
How long that mindset last?
I can't believe how many computers I've bought and sold and rebuilt. It's a communist plot, I think.
I was going to say, have you ever sold one?
No, you should just junk them. So it's Rosie on the House, working to become your best friend. We have Bob Brown in here from Arizona Foundation Solutions. We're going to get on the topic of foundations here in a minute. But before we do, I was talking about our website and the fact that we build it, we break it, we rebuild it. And one of the things we're doing on the website right now, because so many of you, when you're trying to get something done, have the habit of going into YouTube and asking YouTube to show you how to do it. We're going to be building out a complete video library of the thousands and thousands of questions that we have posted in the FAQs and the question and answer section of our website. And we currently have posted our first three videos sponsored by Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. There are do-it-yourself plumbing repairs and tools that are needed. There's a video on kitchen and bathroom faucet repair and maintenance. There's also a tip on five heating, ventilating, and air conditioning tips to improve the indoor air quality at your house. So just one more way we continue to build the tool that you need, that try and make sure you don't make any mistakes on home ownership. Get tied in with a bad apple. Romy, why don't you talk about your geolocator you just masterminded and whipped into place on that thing?
It's been in concept for a long time, and this one was of all the updates and redesigns and functionality changes we've added, this one was my favorite. So in the old website, somebody would go and pick find a trusted partner, and then they would have to pick a region, and then they would pick a category, and it would just show whoever was listed. Well, then it took the user some time to click through each one of them to learn more about their any specialty or specialized services. Just because you are in air conditioning doesn't mean you would necessarily do evap cooling. Or if you're in plumbing, doesn't mean you necessarily do new installs. You may just be a service plumber working on fixing leaks and updating fixtures in homes. So this new geolocator, instead of selecting a region, you just enter your zip code or your city, type in a category and your keywords if necessary, and then it shows you by location proximity the three closest Rosie certified partners to your home. And that's step one. Step two, it'll come up with additional filter listings for if it's a showroom you're going to look, if it's a wholesaler, if it's a supply yard. And but right now, everyone that applies to those keywords shows up. And then the next phase, it'll filter it down if you're looking to like I said, go shopping for it yourself or just call someone out.
All at RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Just an effort to provide better,
well, one of the things, one of the things we were really trying to do is we were trying to cover some holes that we had in our coverage. Like we didn't have, I like to give the homeowners a couple guys in each category, so that they can kind of, anybody on the site is going to be trustworthy, but they may have a different opinion on how to tackle it. And we had a couple holes, like in the far West Valley and the far East Valley. Some of our primary contractors didn't travel out that far. Well, now we're plugging those holes and we're adding members that'll cover that area. Now, we've never had to worry about that with our foundation repair because Bob Brown has covered the state from day one.
Absolutely.
Page to Nogales.
Yep.
Springerville to Blythe. You've been in all those places, haven't you?
We've been to all the corners, all the corners.
Bob, thanks for joining us from Arizona Foundation Solutions. I wanted to talk. We had the Arizona geologist in from the Geological Survey a couple weeks ago talking about these earthquake swarms that they were registering and recording up in the Parashant National Monument up at the edge of the Grand Canyon over by Grand Wash Cliffs and all. And we brought him in specifically to talk about that, and he says, yeah, but you know what? There's something that nobody's talking about. It's on the other end of the state, down by Duncan, Arizona. We're experiencing just as many of those earthquake swarms that may be all afterquakes from the earthquake that struck there 2 years ago.
Right. Well, you know, the Colorado Plateau is continuing to lift up, so this is probably just part of the process.
The curious nature, I'm just wondering, does Payson become Balboa Park, and do the Matazals become Catalina Island?
Well, we've got to wait for California first.
Okay. All right. Well, in the way of geology, Arizona is still, my question to the geologists is, okay, are we going to have to reclassify Arizona in the seismic mapping that we do in the way that we're building homes? But earthquakes aren't the primary thing you've got to deal with. But boy, Arizona's pretty active geologically.
Yeah, it's fairly active, but not in a major way. We don't expect any 7.0s here.
Right. But some of the geological challenges that you're seeing day in and day out.
Right. I mean, the challenges that we see are more superficial. Surface problems of volumetric changes that occur mainly from water. And we're not even talking about fissures, which tend to be a something that goes down 200 or 300 feet. We're talking more superficial kind of things.
A fissure is usually identified early on in the real estate development of the subdivision.
Hopefully. But, you know, a fissure happens over a large area, you know, many, many miles. I mean, if the whole house goes down a foot along with the rest of the valley, nobody's going to really notice or care. What the problem is half your house goes down and the other half doesn't. Now, that creates a problem.
That's a problem. You know, you've seen the headlines about the sinkholes, in particular the one I remember last, I think, was it Florida that the
right.
the Corvette was lost?
And yeah.
Someone actually even lost their life.
Yeah, the guy in Florida fell in, and they never could retrieve him. You know, we had a customer call in and said, you know, I had a leak under my slab, and I just want to know, you know, if I don't want to fall in the hole like in Florida.
Yeah.
We had to calm him down and say, there's no chance of that happening in Arizona. We don't have karst and we don't have limestone caves, and you don't have to worry about that. You're not going to fall into a 30 deep cavern because you had a leak under your slab.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
What are some of the other things? We talk a lot about the fact that when people call you, they almost invariably will see the cracks on the foundation, or they
right.
see the cracks up through the mortar walls, stair-stepping away from the corner. They see cracks, you know, spidering out from the corners of their doors or windows, or they have a door or window that doesn't operate like it used to, doesn't quite open and close as easy as it did. And the immediate assumption is my house is settling.
Yeah, that's the mindset that everyone thinks of, because you have this big old heavy house and it's sitting with gravity, and so it's always going to pull it down. But sometimes there are more forces more powerful than gravity. And in particular, swelling clays can have up to 20,000 pounds per square foot heaving up, which overcomes gravity easily.
And for many years, there wasn't a very viable solution to that.
Right. I mean, the foundation industry has, by and large, ignored heaving because they never had solutions for it. And as a result, it largely went undiagnosed or untreated.
Or treated wrong.
Right. Right. Absolutely right.
You'd have the northeast corner of the house heaving, so they would jack up the southwest corner of the house.
Right. And sometimes it would just be very difficult. You would typically hear, we started to lift it and it started to crack worse, so we're just going to stabilize it. Well, that probably means that you're not applying the right solution.
So in a heave, I know you've been working for years on brainstorming a solution to that, and you've kind of borrowed some techniques and technologies out of the radon mitigation industry, and you've come up with a pretty creative method.
Right. So Dave Dethridge, a friend of mine who's a geotech engineer in Scottsdale, was telling me this story about this building that they were doing an environmental remediation, and they were doing what they call sparging, which is pulling all of the chemicals with a vacuum pressure and then collecting them up and then disposing them. Well, they pulled the water too, and this building happened to be sitting on top of clay soil, so it settled, and then they had big lawsuits and, you know, had to underpin the building. It was a big problem. He wrote an article about it saying, kind of watch out, and I'm listening to him, and I'm
saying, is this a local building in Arizona?
I don't know if it was local. Okay. I have a sneaky feeling it wasn't.
Okay.
Anyway, I just basically said to him, Dave, let's think about this. Let's do this on purpose in a controlled way. And that's kind of how the concept was born.
So we take a heave, which is invariably the response. The villain there is moisture,
right,
that's getting under, generally underneath a slab, swelling and actually pushing the house, or the independent slab itself up.
Right.
To mitigate that, we just need to get rid of the moisture.
Right. We just have to control the moisture that's under the slab, and then that controls the swelling clays.
How have you done that in the past?
You mean in the recent past?
No. I want to get to that later. Oh. But historically, 10 years ago, if you had to try and mitigate moisture under a slab,
your options were not really good. I mean, the tool of choice was a cutoff wall, and I've put in millions of dollars of cutoff walls.
You excavate out beyond the foundation, right, go down deep, and try and isolate the moisture to far enough away from the stem it's not causing a problem.
Right. You want to go below the footing and create a barrier that stops water from getting under the house. And it sounds really easy in concept, but everything gets in your way. Pool equipment, air conditioning, plumbing lines, irrigation lines, landscape electricity, barbecues for the gas line, sidewalks. I mean, everything gets in your way, and you have to move huge amounts of dirt. It's a totally disruptive and very expensive process.
And the technology we use to solve that is something we're going to talk about when we get back, all right?
Right, absolutely, because the big problem with the cutoff wall is when you put it in, guess what? You're keeping moisture out, but you're also trapping moisture that's already there. So it doesn't really solve the problem.
More on foundations with Bob Brown of Arizona Foundation Solutions right after this.